today is from Ephesians 4, chapter 1 through to 16, Unity and Maturity in the Body of Christ. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Do take a seat. Well, we're thinking about these fivefold gifting this morning, and we're going to look in a moment at this this passage. But we're going to start with Jesus. As we've said, Jesus is God with us. You can ponder on there. That's got the key words, the cheat sheet. I've got one for you, Anna, as well, to have a gander at as I speak. Jesus come to earth, God with us. And God with us, Jesus starts ministering physically among people. He touches the leper. He enables the lame person to stand up and walk. He enables another blind person to see. As he continues his ministry, he releases people in forgiveness and raises them up so that they can live freely once again. Even the odd dead person is raised back to life as Jesus declares the kingdom of God. And he draws people together and he says, come, follow me. Well, his ministry had a purpose, and in that purpose, he was to die and to take all the bad, all the wrong, all the twistedness of our humanity and face it head on as he hung on the cross and died. But that was not the end, because he came through death and out of death and was raised to new life. And then came a moment where in that new life victory, he would cease to be physically among us, but still very much present. He would take his rightful seat at the right hand of God the Father in the heavenlies, but no longer physically with us. What would happen to that ministry? What would happen to the people who still needed that touch of Jesus? Those people who still needed releasing in forgiveness? Those people who were sick and needed their lives turning around? The people who needed to be called together and people to be called to follow him, what would happen to that physical ministry on earth? Well, Jesus had the answer for that. He said, look, I will not leave you as orphans. But once I am ascended and with the Father, we will send the Spirit. And this will be not just God with us, but now God by his Spirit in us. His capacity to be God's in us. And we will therefore be able to do the things that he has been doing. And with the coming of the Spirit is like this incredible Christmas hamper of all kinds of goodies and wonderful things. And as you unpack the contents, you find that among the contents are these fivefold abilities put in us to minister. But what I want to say this morning is that these fivefold giftings are kind of like special keys. They're kind of like activator keys, that when they are given, they activate something that maybe God and Jesus has already put in us, he's seeded in us, and it's just waiting for that Spirit activation to activate it, maybe for it to come to full flow and come alive and develop, that what Jesus has seeded in us can now flourish and come to the fore. But there's a risk, isn't there? That Jesus, he has died, he has risen, he's ascended, the Spirit has come. But the risk is that even with the Spirit sent, somehow we manage to live still deactivated without that activation taking place and those wonderful things seeding in us coming to the fore. Well, those callings are listed in verse 11. And there's some really cool stuff going on in this verse. As Paul writes that Jesus in his ascension has given the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the shepherd, and the teacher. When we read it in English, we miss it because there is something about the Greek word given that means much more than, oh, Jesus just gave this stuff. There's a tin of sweets and there it was. No, it's actually saying these are fundamentally given. These are given and set for all time. It's like a foundation. It's like a constitution. Now this is given. Now this is set. We can depend on it for all time. So Paul's not writing, well, Jesus might give this stuff. He's not writing, Jesus maybe could one day give this stuff. He is saying he has given it and it sets things from now on forwards. If we bring the next slide up, I'll run through the five using this picture. The apostle, that's the visionary kind of person, the pioneer, the risk taker, the kind of person who extends the Christian faith across boundaries, across faith cultures, across people cultures, and into new places and new areas. That's why the A there is kind of pointing forwards and pointing outwards, because the apostle is always looking for the next place to bring the kingdom of God, to bring the good news of Jesus. The prophet is making this connection between us and God, is justice minded, is there to challenge us and say, hey, wake up, this is what God would want to say, you are living differently, there needs to be a correction. The prophet is the challenger. They are drawing attention to the gap that exists between God's reality and our reality, and telling us about that gap, and encouraging us and challenging us for that gap to be reduced. Well, the evangelist is the recruiter, the mobiliser. So he has or she has the arrows coming in, bringing people in, saying, come on, rounding people up and enabling them to hear and telling them about Jesus and saying, join in, come and join and come and follow. The shepherd, however, wants to protect. So the S is in the middle there, to keep the body of people together, to ensure that there is healthy community. If anyone's hurting, the shepherd wants to go and help sort that out. We'll bring peace and make peace between people if they're kind of getting fractious or falling out between each other. The shepherd always wants to keep the body of people together. And then the teacher is like the wise guide. They keep us grounded, hence the grey line at the bottom of the picture there. The people who gain insight into God and his ways and find excellent ways of explaining that to us so that we can be grounded in those as well. Well, the question is, which of those five comes most naturally to you? Which of those five resonates with you? Maybe you see yourself as one of those. Maybe you're a little bit of a pick and mix. That's okay. As a leadership team, we sat down, spent a lot of time yesterday looking at these five giftings and telling each other what we see in each other. And we all had a mix. For some came clearly to the fore, but we listed out the different keywords that we could put against Jonathan or Phil or myself or Helen and so on in the leadership team. But perhaps there's one that does rise to the fore. Perhaps there's one that comes most naturally. And we had aha moments yesterday as one of the leaders says, yeah, well that I just do that. It's just natural. Well, there's a clue. That's what God has put in you to do, cultivate that. There are times where you have to do the others. There's seasons where you are called to do the others because that's what the situation requires, and sometimes you have to step into that other role. But find out what comes naturally to you. I make no secret that for me it's more natural to be an evangelist than a shepherd. And so there are times where I need to do some kind of pastoral care task, and I'll be honest with you, I have to dig deep. I have to think, right, must do this task, must find the energy from somewhere to do this, because I'm not naturally a shepherd, so I have to dig deep to find that energy. But if you told me that there was a stranger on the street corner just waiting to be told about Jesus, I would be there before you'd finished the sentence. Because it just comes naturally to me. I don't have to find energy for that. It's just there. And it comes naturally for me. Which one comes naturally for you? If we go to the next slide, it's our key question. What has Jesus put in you to benefit the whole body? What has Jesus put in you to benefit the whole body? And think in terms of apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, and teacher. And the challenge is to ask friends and say, what do you see in me in terms of apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, or teacher? What keywords do you see in me? What things do you see me doing? What seems to come natural? Ask for that feedback. Now, ask for the feedback in terms of these five keywords. Because what this is not about is whether you are some kind of upfront person or the kind of person who always likes to stay in the background or behind the scenes or so on. It's not about whether you're upfront or behind the scenes. It's also not about whether you are a leader kind of person or the kind of person who is always happy to just be on a team and get on with jobs that other people ask you to do. It's not about that. The APEST gifting cuts across those questions. Those are fair questions, are good questions, but those questions are not for today because APEST cuts across those. You might be the quietest, shrinking violet, backroom serving kind of person, but still have this incredibly, naturally strong core to you that wants to be justice-minded and wants to challenge people about that gap between God's reality and our human reality. You might be the quietest serving person who just loves to organise information and say, if we look at it this way, then we can understand things better and be better grounded and have that teaching streak in you. So it doesn't matter whether you're upfront or not, or a leader, or just a member on a team. You might still have, Jesus has still put in you something of apostle or prophet, evangelist, shepherd, or teacher. And be confident in that. And don't feel you have to be the person that you are not. Don't feel that if you see yourself as a shepherd, but you know that it just doesn't work trying to be an evangelist, well, don't worry about that. You don't have to be that other person if you are not them. There may be times where God calls you to step into that role, and I'm sure he will gift you and enable you for that circumstance. But generally speaking, be the person that you are. Don't worry about trying to be the person that you are not. We're going to ask you to ponder this and get feedback from people. For those of you who like kind of online personality tests, there is a website I can send you to that you can quiz yourself. A lot of people don't like those kind of things. You'll get some feedback from that. I can give you a web address. But talk to other people and have people pray with you into what Jesus is activating in your life. I feel this morning that there are maybe some people who somehow feel stuck. And two images have come to my mind, maybe they're what God's given me or whatever, but the image of a flat tire. And you know that you can drive a vehicle or you can pedal the bike, but you know that the tire's flat and it's hard work and it's not going very far. And if that's you, then later in the service, have someone pray with you, come to the back and we will pray for you. Or another image, what comes to me is the airport departure lounge, but actually you're not even sure what plane you're going to get on and what the destination is. And you're stuck in that departure lounge. Well, come and have someone pray with you in a bit. The passage goes on, verse 12 to 16, to unpack what the benefits of these fivefold gifting are for us and the whole church. And verse 12 says, to equip. Now, the interesting thing is I'm no Greek scholar, but my books tell me that the words Paul writes down there is the Greek words katartizo. And it goes on to equip for works of service, to equip to build up the body, to bring unity, to bring us all to maturity, up towards fullness in Jesus Christ. That's that kind of ever closer to Jesus thing that I talk about. These fivefold giftings enable us to get closer to the fullness of Jesus as a body of people. In other words, what these fivefold things do is answer the prayer that Paul wrote down in chapter 3. The prayer that Helen referred to last week in our service, where Paul says, this is 3:17, that you may be filled to the fullness of God. The answer to that prayer is Jesus giving these fivefold gifting and them operating in the church, in the body of people. That will enable us to go forward to the fullness of Christ. But here's the funny thing, that Greek word, katartizo, can be translated to equip. It can be translated to mend. It can be translated to join together, or to put in order, or to perfect. So we can say that these fivefold giftings are given that the body of Christ may be mended for works of service, for unity, for maturity in Christ. The fivefold gifts are given that the body of Christ might be perfected to service, to unity, maturity, unity of Christ. All those things are possible. All those ways of reading are possible. And see again, Paul is concerned for the whole body. We've seen that in the last few weeks. He wants everyone included. No one left out. And everyone has a role. So there is something of apostle or prophet or evangelist or shepherd or teacher in you for the benefit of all of us. Jesus has given all five, so we need all five to be operating. And we need all five to be operating together. A wonderful illustration of this is a symphony orchestra. Symphony orchestra, you have your string section, you have your woodwind, your flute, and your oboes and stuff, and you have some brass, you have some percussion. And a symphony, a clever classical work, knows how to layer all those different types of sound and those different instruments together to produce the whole work. That is how we are to be operating with the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists, the shepherds and the teachers, the different sections layered together to produce something greater and more beautiful. So if you remember nothing else from this morning, remember that we need all five. They are foundational, they are fundamental for the church to grow. Now, remember what I said at the beginning about Jesus' physical ministry. He did kingdom works, for example, healing. I'm going to equate those in verse 12 with the works of service. He enabled people to be released and forgiven. I'm going to equate those with building people up in verse 12. Jesus drew people together. I can equate that with unity. And he called people to follow. I'm going to equate that in verse 12 with becoming mature and reaching the fullness of Jesus. In other words, all five callings enable us to do the same kind of stuff that Jesus did when he was physically on the planet ministering to people. We're in the same business, extending the same physical ministry of Jesus because of a fivefold gifting put in us collectively together, working as a symphony. But as I said, Jesus rising, sending the Spirit, left a massive risk. Because what if, having heard about that or reading that passage in Paul's letters to the Ephesians, what if, after all that, we then pay no attention and continue our ordinary lives without that kind of activation that the Spirit wants to give and to bring? What if, as a church, we paid no attention to these fivefold gifting, and in the way that we organised ourselves and the way we thought about ministries, we paid no thoughts or attention to it? Well, the answer would be tragic. Because very little of the good stuff of verses 12 to 16 would be able to happen if we did that and didn't have the fivefold gifting going on. That's why, as a leadership, in seeking God for greater capacity for ministry, we are taking this fivefold gifting, the APEST as we call it, so seriously. That's why we spent the best part of a day on it in our leadership away day yesterday. because we want you to discover the calling and the gifting and the stuff that Jesus has put in your life and wants to grow and flourish. We want to get with you, we want to mentor you, we want to train you, we want to do whatever is necessary so that that can rise up to the fore and you can resonate and sing and go with it. For some, that will mean coming to the fore as leadership. Not for everyone, but for some. And for those people, we certainly want to encourage and develop your abilities in leadership and leadership gifts. For some, it will emerge as doing stuff as a volunteer. And that's fantastic, because this fivefold gifting, this is not simply about professional ministry. This is not just about paid ministers or people who receive stipends or gifts to do their ministry. It's for everyone. So we want to honour and give a kind of a positive honouring framework for people who volunteer. Remember that the person who gives half an hour midweek to move these chairs so that 2x2 can happen, that giving of that half an hour voluntarily is gold dust for us. It's gold dust. Without that, we wouldn't be able to have the kind of ministry that we have with parent and toddler on a Thursday morning. Same with all the other volunteering that goes on in the church. It's gold dust. But even if you think, well, I'm just moving the chairs, there may still be that core, that streak in your life that makes you passionate about organising thought and enabling people to understand stuff, that teaching thing in you. Or maybe there's that passion in you to tell others about Jesus and ensure that people hear the good news, that evangelist thing. We want that to bubble up as well and want to encourage that. Some will intentionally give their time in a clear role. They'll give something like at least a day a week equivalent to different kind of ministries, maybe a portfolio. We want to recognize and affirm those people as community ministers because they are ministering on our behalf out in the community in different ways. And we want to work with those people. We want to pray with them and encourage them and say, what is your natural gifting? What is your natural calling? And help you find a portfolio that matches that natural calling and go with that. And we really want to encourage pioneers. We need people to be able to go out and do stuff where we don't yet have a map for how it looks like. Just as our friend is praying for people to go and pioneer in North Africa and places where there's scant witness to the gospel, we want to encourage people to go to parts of this city or people groups of this city or places that as yet there is not so much witness. We want to see those people raised up and encouraged. And maybe there is some new ministry or some type of ministry in the city that we want to get behind, and the person who is best suited to do it can only do it if there's some funding so that they can pay their gas bill and they can put a roof over their head and feed their children. Well, we want to be able to say, well, here is some money to pay you to do that role and to make that available when the opportunity emerges. Because we believe that Jesus has given the apostle, he has given the prophetic, he has given the evangelist, he has given those among us who will be shepherds, and he has given those among us who will enable us with teaching. It is latent there, and we want to invite the Spirit to come and activate it in us and learn how to make all those five layer together to produce the most wonderful symphony of ministry across this city so that The praise is that together we are built up and become mature and gather others to join and come along and see kingdom work across the city and kingdom life, and people are drawn to maturity together in the fullness of Christ. That's why we pay attention to this stuff. Well, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to do an exercise. In the baskets, they're little coloured squares. Doesn't really matter what colour you find. There's a few spares under here. And what I want you to do is just have a thought and see if you can declare yourself what Jesus has put in you. Write your name on the square and come and stick it on this body. Okay? Now, Jesus is the head of the body, so Jesus is up there. I've put shepherd in the core because the shepherd likes to keep the body together. I've put apostle pointing outwards because the apostle, of course, points to new ministries and new initiatives. The prophet is pointing up to God to talk about that gap between God's reality and ours. The teacher has got one foot firmly on the ground because the teacher keeps us grounded with good teaching. And the evangelist, well, I'm not sure what the evangelist is doing. He's maybe giving a kick up the behind for someone to say, come and join. And so the evangelist is there. So write your name on a thing. If you want other keywords to help think what they mean, then take one of these sheets. Some of you have seen these sheets. So I'll leave those in the middle. But write your name and stick it where you think you find it most naturally to operate. Now, if you don't know, that's okay. That really is okay, because you might not have thought about this before today. So if you don't know, feel free to stick your name in the don't know cloud. That is perfectly fine. But talk with others. There's about 6 minutes of music. Ask someone for prayer. Come to the back, and we will gladly pray with you. Remember, you might be feeling stuck or a sense of a flat tire or in that departure lounge. Why don't we stand for a moment and we'll pray, and then we'll start the exercise. Spirit of God, we welcome you to move among us. We thank you, you give these abilities for good things, to build us up together, to be closer to you. Be free, Spirit of God, to activate what you have seeded in us by your grace and for your glory. Amen. Well, the music will